Blog Talk Radio.
Talking political news, cultural topics, and a little witchy stuff, too. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio with your host, Becky Noble. And now, here's your conservative Wiccan, Becky Noble.
You are correct. It is your weekly dose of conservative wickedness. TGIF people, the weekend is upon us. Welcome. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you very much for hanging out with me today. TGIF, the weekend is upon us. The 3-day 4th of July weekend. The weekend that we celebrate being Americans. And you can do that. You can do that in a fun way. You can do that in a serious way. You can do it both ways. That's the beauty of America, people. You can do it whichever way you want. And we are celebrating 4th of July weekend here today by talking about all kinds of stuff that is going on. Never a dull moment, as usual. I've got a ton of stuff to get to. It's been a very busy week, but a very interesting week. And so I'm going to get to as much of it as I can here. And before I get started, though, I'm going to remind everybody that July 4th, ironically enough, Independence Day, this coming Monday, you will be able to hear a new dominant voice in conservative internet talk radio, and that will be Red Nation Rising Radio Network, started on Monday, July 4th. And we are super, super excited. I know I speak for all of my fellow radio show hosts when I say that we are silly excited. There has been there's been a lot of people who have been busting their butts to get this moving and get it going. And so, first of all, maybe I should say thank you to them. Thank you to them for all of your hard work and all of your dedication. And because it means a lot. And I, like I said, I think I speak for a lot of my fellow talk show hosts when I say that thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for a fantastic opportunity. And I think I probably speak for everybody when I say we are raring to go. We are ready to go. But again, before I get started with everything here, I'm going to take a phone call real quick. Hi, you're on Conservative Cauldron Radio. Who am I talking to? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Is anyone there?
Hello,
hi.
I'm here.
You're on Hi, who am I talking to?
Is this Becky?
Yes, it is.
Hello?
This is
Mark
Cox.
Who
am I talking to?
This is Mark Cox.
Hi, Mark,
in California.
How are you?
This is Mick.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. You know what? For anybody who doesn't know, Mark Cox is a Twitter buddy of mine. And, you know, at first I got to admit, I had him a little mixed up with a local guy here on conservative radio here in St. Louis. His name is also Mark Cox, but he spells his name with a C. But my buddy calling in here, Mark, is Mark with a K. So at first I kind of got them mixed up a little bit, but as we've gotten to know each other and have communicated back and forth on Twitter and everything, I'll tell you what, Mark, you are the greatest. You tweet and retweet every single thing that I put out there, and I am so grateful and so thank you very much for that. I really appreciate your support and hope you're going to tune in to Red Nation Radio Network, because I think it's going to be huge.
Oh, it is. I can't wait. Yes. And, you know, that's part of what we need to do is stand up and do all that retweet. And, you know, because that's how it gets out there. If we don't put that effort out there to, you know, let everyone know, because when I retweet, it hits so many of my followers and their followers. And then it becomes, you know, the large thing.
Exactly.
And that's what we're after.
And I exactly.
More
it's a domino effect.
Absolutely. We need to do a lot more of that.
I do too. And that's, I guess that's the cool thing about social media and about Twitter is that it has such a huge domino effect that, you're able to reach so many people, and you're reaching people that you're reaching people maybe that I wouldn't reach. And so it's just, I so appreciate all your support and for tweeting and listening and everything, Mark. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, this is like way out of my realm. This year I kind of took this on, and I've never done anything like this in my life, and I would probably have never would have called your show. But, you know, we got to do something for our country. And
You're right.
People to stand up. And so anyways, yeah, and I was anxious to talk with you. I see you on there all the time, and it's exciting. And
you do a good job. Thank you so much, Mark.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I'll get you on Red Nation.
Okay. I'll be looking for you. Thanks,
okay.
Mark. That is my Twitter buddy, Mark Cox. And he's an amazing guy. He's so supportive of Conservative Cauldron Radio, and I know will be of Red Nation Rising Radio, and he's right. We've got to stick together. We've got to stick together, and we've got to stand up. And because there are so many, so many horrible things going on right now in the country, and it just seems like that nobody's willing to stop it. We have congressional Republicans that are not doing what we put them there to do. They're not fighting the Obama administration agenda. They're going along with it. And he's right. He's absolutely right. The more of us that stand up and speak out, the better, you know, not let less voices, more voices, many more voices. So thank you so much, Mark, for calling in. I'm really glad. Good to hear from you. Thank you so much. But like I said, I got a lot of stuff to get to, so we'll get to it. It's been a bad week for our buddy Hillary. Poor Hillary. Hillary, you know, my dad, my late father used to tell me something when I was a teenager. And I used to just, as teenagers will do, just kind of blow it off. But it speaks volumes. And if I would do something that was kind of, you know, sometimes when you do something that you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot about, he would say, well, you know, sometimes you're just your own worst enemy. And I think that's Hillary's problem in a nutshell. Sometimes besides being an elitist and a snob and thinking she's above the law and thinking she's better than everyone else, you know, aside from all those things, she is her own worst enemy. But the problem with that is she's allowed to be her own worst enemy because we have watched how many decades have we watched the Clintons get away with stuff. And I think it's getting to the point where people are tired of it. And, of course, we had the House committee, the report on the Benghazi terrorist attacks released this week. And while they did not point the finger specifically at Hillary, her fingers are all over it. Barack Obama's fingers are all over it. The State Department's, the entire Obama administration, all over this debacle. And there are a lot of different factoids, a lot of different tidbits that go into this. And the Democrats have been babbling on all week about how there's nothing new here, nothing new to see here. Move along. Oh well, yeah, there is. Yeah, there's quite a few things that are new. And one of the things that has come out is that, you know, we heard all about Ambassador Chris Stevens begging the State Department for more security in the lead up to this attack. And he begged, we've heard that there were over 600 requests for additional security in Benghazi prior to these attacks. And his voice went completely unheeded. Everybody just, be it State Department, whoever it was, they ignored him. Well, it wasn't just Ambassador Stevens that made requests for additional security, and it wasn't just the time frame that we've heard about, you know, a month, 6 weeks prior to this attack. No, there were security agents who were warning the State Department 9 months. That's right, 9 months prior to this attack, because that someone was going to die because there was no way to prevent the attacks. There was no intel on the ground about who was doing what and possibly when and where these attacks were going to occur. Well, here was the State Department's response. Yeah, we know. We'll deal with it when we have to deal with it. Huh? We'll deal with it. Well, you're talking about people's lives. You're talking about the lives of American citizens. And your response is, yeah, we know. We'll deal with it if and when we have to deal with it. Are you kidding me? So that sets it up. That's the mindset that you're looking at here. That's the mentality. And keep in mind as well, too, that at the time this attack occurred, we were approximately 56 days away from a presidential election. And if everybody remembers back a little bit, you have the possible reelection here of the nation's first black president, first African-American president. We certainly don't want him to be a one-term guy, because how is that going to look? Well, he was just a token. The first black president was just a fluke, just something that happened. Oh no, we have to get him reelected because that gives him legitimacy. If he's a two-term president, it gives him some legitimacy. So it was very much not just about continuing the policies of the Obama administration. It was about continuing that presidency, that historic presidency. And I think a lot of people forget that too, that there was some of that going on. And, Hillary Clinton, by virtue of ignoring, and her State Department, ignoring Ambassador Stevens' request for more security, ignoring security agents who were saying 9 months ahead of time that somebody was going to die because we really have no way to prevent these attacks. We have no way of knowing right now if and when these attacks are going to occur. Hillary Clinton might as well have been Barack Obama's campaign manager, because this attack and the result of 4 dead Americans basically right now looks like nothing more than collateral damage for a presidential election. And we have found out, and I think we already knew, but it was just kind of reaffirmed, kind of confirmed this week, that absolutely not only did no one lift a finger to help these people in Benghazi, there was nothing of the United States military, no weapons, no planes, no tanks, no, you name it, there was nothing pointed in the direction of Benghazi, Libya. Absolutely nothing. No resources, no troops, nothing. And it's just when you think about that, one of the things you almost have to conclude is that basically what I just said, nobody in this administration lifted a finger to help 4 American citizens because they were so hell-bent on getting Barack Obama reelected. And again, Hillary Clinton might have been his campaign manager, because that's what was going on here. The politics was more important than the lives of American citizens. The lives of American citizens, American heroes, Navy SEALs, and an American ambassador. The politics of this situation was more important to the Obama administration than the lives of those people. And I have 2 sound bites here. They're kind of long. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a real quick break here, and when I get back, we're going to hear from both Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio and Representative Mike Pompeo of Kansas. They were the ranking members of the Senate Committee on the Benghazi attack, and they can put things in perspective a whole lot better than I can, and they're going to add some things to what I have to say, and all of these things. I don't know, and neither do they as well. I don't know what else that we conclude from the findings of this investigation. And, of course, Hillary Clinton was speaking earlier this week where she said, you know, again, there's really nothing new here to see. Move along. Those were her exact words. I think it's just time to move on. Well, I'm sure she does. But, like I said, I'm going to take a very quick break here. And then when I come back, we will hear from Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio and Representative Mike Pompeo of Kansas, ranking members of the House Select Committee on the Benghazi attack. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. Don't go anywhere. I have got so much more to get to. Stay right where you are.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
The following message is brought to you by Health Markets, your first choice when you need health insurance for your small business. Do you offer health insurance to your employees? Call us now and see if you can save money. Do you want to offer vision and dental to your employees? Call us. Do you think you're paying too much for your current health insurance? Call us. Do you want somebody else to do all the legwork and search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide? Call us. We're Health Markets, and thanks to a little-known solution, we could help your business save thousands of dollars on health insurance costs and save your employees money, too. Our service is free. Don't miss the great savings. Call now.
800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. That's 800-470-8021.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is DBA of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc. Licensed in all states. Product availability varies.
Are you getting squeezed by the economic downturn? Hey, you were doing fine. Then, all of a sudden, you're having a tough time paying your family's credit card bills. Maybe you were downsized or even lost a job, but you still owe 10 grand or more in credit card bills, and you just can't afford the minimum payments anymore. We're here to help. We are the Genesis Debt Partners. We know the secrets to negotiate better terms with your creditors. Make a free 10-minute call right now and learn how we can help you get out of debt. 800-807-9767. If you owe 10 grand or more in credit card debt and you want to learn how you can pay less and get out of debt faster, call right now. 800-807-9767. 800-807-9767. Get out of debt now. 800-807-9767.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975. To find out more, call toll-free 800-962-9119. That's 800-962-9119. Call 800-962-9119 today.
Is debt beating you down? You need discipline. You need
the Debt Ninja.
If you've been caught in a financial trap and need to be set free, then you need
the Debt Ninja.
Want to stop those harassing collection calls, start saving thousands in interest and fees, and get out of debt fast? Then you need to call
the Debt Ninja.
The Debt Ninja will find the best companies across the country that will help you consolidate all your bills into one easy payment, reduce your payments by 30 to 50%, and get you out of debt fast. If you have unsecured debt of $10,000 or more, such as credit cards, loans, or medical bills, call
the Debt Ninja
for a free 15-minute consultation.
Call 800-824-3301. 800-824-3301. That's 800-824-3301. Call today.
The Debt Ninja.
Welcome back. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble, TGIF, PayPal, the weekend, and a three-day one for many of you at that, is upon us. And we will be celebrating the birth of our nation. And like I said, you can celebrate that any way you want, because that's how we roll here in the USA. And hope everyone has a fantastic weekend planned. And I will remind everyone, I did at the top of the show, but I will remind everybody again, please check out July 4th, ironically enough, Independence Day, the launch date for Red Nation Rising Radio Network. It is going to be awesome. We're going to have, oh my God, it would take me the rest of the hour to tell you about all the fabulous shows that are going to be on. We're going to have Cowboy Logic. We are going to have The Stafford Voice with Daniel Stafford, Wayne Dupree. We have Gene Berardelli behind Enemy Lines. I can't even, I'm trying to think of them all and I can't. It's going to be so awesome. We're going to have two 24/7 live streams. I wish I could take the whole hour to talk about it, because I'm just so excited about it and so pumped. And I know I speak for all of my fellow radio hosts when I say I think that they are probably just as psyched and pumped about this as I am. So please check it out. Monday, July 4th, Red Nation Rising Radio Network. It is going to be fabulous. Anyway, we are talking about, of course, Hillary's bad week, and we are starting with the report from the House Select Committee on Benghazi. And I said before the break, I have two sound bites here, one from Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio and one from Representative Mike Pompeo of Kansas. And they're both kind of long, but I think it's important for us to hear what they have to say, because the Democrats are all out there, and both of the Trey Gowdy even said this week that there were, believe it or not, there were Democrats on this committee, but they kind of, you know, they kind of showed up and took up space and crabbed about everything that went on. That's shocking, I know. But we will start off here, first of all, with Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio.
Chairman mentioned that before the attack ended, no military assets were headed towards Benghazi. But what did start before the attack was over was the political spin. At 10:08 that night, with Tyrone Woods still on the roof of the annex fighting for his life, Secretary Clinton issues this statement, the official statement on Benghazi, the official statement of our government that evening. Some have sought to justify this vicious behavior as a response to inflammatory material on the Internet. We know that statement was misleading because an hour later she told her daughter, terrorists killed two of our people today. The next day she tells the Egyptian prime minister, we know the film had nothing to do with it. It was a planned attack, not a protest. And this public-private contrast continues for days, publicly telling the American people it was a video-inspired protest, privately telling the truth that it was a terrorist attack. And maybe the best example is from the 14th. Same day, Mr. Rhodes issues his talking points. But that day, we have Mr. Carney at a press briefing saying this: no information to suggest Benghazi was a pre-planned attack. No information to suggest a pre-planned attack. That same day, State Department official in Libya says this: Benghazi was a well-planned attack. You couldn't have a starker contrast than those two statements. And I think it's important to remember this. Don't forget the context. Libya was supposed to be the crowning jewel of the Clinton State Department foreign policy and the Obama administration foreign policy. This was their example of how it works. No boots on the ground, oust a dictator, help the Arab Spring. This was supposed to be how it works. In fact, Jake Sullivan sent an email to one of the things we discovered in our investigation, where he talks about leadership, stewardship, ownership of this policy from start to finish. This was something Hillary Clinton pushed for and got done. But maybe the better one is the email from Sidney Blumenthal. A few days after Gaddafi has been removed, he sends an email to the secretary, and he says, this is a big moment. You should do a press event, even if it's in the driveway of your vacation home. And he finishes the email with this statement: this is a big moment. You are vindicated. Don't wait. Help Cleo now. Cleo, of course, is the goddess of history. So they were committed to this. They were invested in this. This was it. This was how it's supposed to work in their administration and their State Department. And they were so committed, it didn't matter that there were 200 security incidents between the time Blumenthal sent the email and when the terrorist attack happened. It didn't matter that one diplomatic security agent went to Benghazi, did his service, and came back. And when he came back, he said this: it's a suicide mission. everybody there is going to die. It didn't matter that on August 17th of 2012, 3.5 weeks before the attack, Beth Jones sends a memo to Secretary Clinton, and she uses terms. She talks about the uptick in violence in eastern Libya and talks about urgency, lawlessness, widespread violence. They didn't matter because they were committed to this policy. And then it happens. A terrorist attack, and it's a terrorist attack on September 11th, 2012. Days before, Vice President Biden had said, GM's alive, bin Laden's dead. The president had this narrative that Al-Qaeda's on the run, but now they got a terrorist attack, and they have to mislead the American people because it's 56 days before an election, their legacy's on the line, and she has the goddess of history looking over her shoulder. So they mislead the American people. And Mr. Pompeo and I put together a report that we think supplements the good work in the full report, and we did that because we felt it's important to know what happened, but also the why. Why did it happen? And you look at every step of this, and I am convinced, just as sure as I'm standing here, it happened because of political concerns this administration had. Why did we stay in Benghazi when almost everyone else was leaving? Why did we stay when the security posture and security position was so dangerous? Why did we mislead the why did they mislead the American people? And why did it take so long to get – why were they talking about making sure military went in civilian clothes and not uniforms? In the end, it was political concerns that drove this. The evidence strongly shows that, and that's what we outline in our report. And I, as the chairman said, I would encourage you all to read both because I think it tells that story, and that's something that shouldn't happen in a country as great as ours where political concerns dominate instead of telling people the truth in a straightforward fashion. Chairman mentioned that
Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio, talking about the Benghazi report, and everything he said there was spot on. There was nothing that was inaccurate. And the thing here is that I don't know how we – maybe it's just little by little and word of mouth and shows like this and networks like Red Nation Rising that we get out the word that this woman is a serial liar. She's a pathological liar. She likes to talk about Donald Trump having so-called mental issues. Being a pathological liar, I would classify as a mental issue. The scope and the breadth of this and the lies – not just the amount of lies, although that is a problem, but the scope and the seriousness of the lies that she told is just something that I think it's hard for normal people to comprehend. I'm going to finish up here with Representative Mike Pompeo from Kansas, also on this committee. Again, this clip is about 3 minutes long, so it's a little long, but again, I think it's important for us to hear these guys. I think it's important for everybody to hear what these guys have to say, because the Democrats are going to go on and on about how they're lying, about how they're fabricating things and not telling the truth, yada, yada, yada. They could do that till the cows come home, but don't seem to go away. So I will let Representative Mike Pompeo here wrap things up.
56 days. You cannot begin to understand and place all the facts that this committee has worked diligently for a year and a half to present to the American people without understanding that this took place 56 days before a contested political election for President of the United States. Whether it was the failure to put adequate security on the ground, whether it was the dithering while Americans were at risk that night, or whether it is the continued story, in spite of enormous evidence to the contrary, about a YouTube video, it all takes place against a political backdrop. And you don't have to take my word for that. You can read the emails themselves. Before the last mortar falls, they're talking about politics. As they're debating whether or not to send additional security to Libya, the concerns are about the Libyan government, not about the Americans who were on the ground that night. I sit on the Intelligence Committee. I come at this from that perspective. When you read what the intelligence was the night of the attack from Benghazi, Libya, it is uniform and uncontroverted. This was attack by radical Islamic terrorists on an American facility. There was no fog of war. There was no dispute, save for a few stray news reports. The evidence was very clear. Go read what Secretary Clinton herself said. Go read the words from other officials who were on the ground that night, communicating back to the most senior levels of government what had transpired that night. It wasn't about a YouTube video. It wasn't about a bunch of folks out for a walk. And when Secretary Clinton said, "What difference does it make?" we can now, as a result of our work over the last year and a half, tell you exactly what difference it makes. It makes a difference in how you respond to an attack, whether you think this was just a bunch of folks walking around or a continuous five-phase assault on America that took place in Benghazi, Libya that night. Washington, D.C. somehow viewed this as having ended once our men and women were evacuated to the annex in Benghazi. I can assure you, when you read the timeline of events, the men on the ground that night understood this wasn't over. They understood that terror was still upon them, that the risk to their lives continued. And in Washington, D.C., we debated things that had nothing to do with whether or not we had aircraft en route to Benghazi, Libya. That's what difference it makes. You can't begin to exercise the leadership you need to exercise if you don't understand what's happening on the ground. And if you choose to put political expediency and politics ahead of the men and women on the ground for that, you'll have to answer to yourself. I find it morally reprehensible and behavior that if it was your son or your daughter or one of your family members or friends who were on the ground that night and you watched the actions in Washington, D.C., you'd have every right to be disgusted with the response from the senior American leaders. This was a failure at the most senior levels of our government and one that I hope the recommendations this committee presents will help making sure that something like this never happens again.
Hey there, I'm Chris Hayes from MSNBC. Thanks for watching MSNBC on YouTube.
No, we don't want to watch MSNBC because, well, it would take me all hour to talk about why we don't want to watch PMSNBC. That, again, Representative Mike Pompeo of Kansas, who was one of the two ranking Republicans on the House Select Committee on the Benghazi attacks. And, again, wouldn't change anything he said there. Everything was right on. 56 days out of an election, that was all that mattered. And if you listen to the emails, it's Friday. If you read the emails, that's what you see. They're not worried about American lives. They're worried about politics. And, you know, I'm going to wrap this up because we want to get to, of course, the story of Loretta Lynch, the saga of Loretta Lynch and Bubba this week. But I'm going to wrap this up by saying this. You know, we all know that kind of the conventional wisdom about Hillary not just running for president but possibly being elected president is that not just she, but I think a lot of other people in the Democrat Party feel like that she's owed this. Because very quickly here, let's go back to 2008. She was supposed to be a shoe-in. Again, 2008 was supposed to be just a slide for her. She was supposed to just slide right on into the nomination and into the presidency. And along came this guy named Barack Obama. Nobody had ever heard of him. He was an Illinois state senator who always voted present. But here he was. He came along. He was young. He was good-looking. He was articulate. He was a good teleprompter reader, which made him articulate. And everybody went, wow, wouldn't that be great? The first black president. Everybody won't think we're racist anymore. And so the Democrat Party dropped Hillary Clinton like a bad habit, and they all flocked to Barack Obama. Well, you know, we can all say now, how's that working out for you? So she was kind of, I think, in a way, paid back for her loyalty to the party and ultimately supporting Barack Obama by getting the Secretary of State gig. And so now, and you can even go back beyond all that, as First Lady, look at all the things that she put up and all the humiliation and all the embarrassment that she put up with as First Lady, that she had to endure Bill Clinton's peccadilloes, his extracurricular marital escapades in view of God and the whole world. And so for all of these things, all of these humiliations, all of these things she's had to endure, all of these taking one for the team things that she's had to deal with for the Democrat Party, she, again, now in 2016, they owe her this. They owe her. She's entitled. She's gone through all of this humiliation, embarrassment, dealing with all these things. Along comes Barack Obama. And now she's got these Republicans on her case for Benghazi. And, you know, she's taken way more heat for this than Barack Obama has. Because and you know, maybe that's not fair because Barack Obama's the president. Buck stops with him, right? But it was Hillary Clinton's State Department. And not just the State Department, but the entire Obama administration, the federal government failed these four Americans. And they were basically sacrificed for a presidential election. And you know, if you're comfortable with that, if you're cool with that, then by all means vote for Hillary Clinton. But and when I say that, you know, I can include all the Never Trumpers and all the people who are thinking that things are going to be better if they vote for Hillary Clinton. Well, you know, I have not read it myself, but if you think that, then I would urge you maybe to read this entire report and judge for yourself whether or not that is a proper choice to make. But just keep that in mind. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, 56 days out of an election, and that's the bottom line here. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, 56 days out of an election, sacrificed four American lives to win that election. That's what we're talking about here, bottom line. Also, this week, we have had, well, on Monday, we had, well, this was interesting. And, you know, I don't know how many people think that this was actually a spontaneous spur-of-the-moment thing, because I've been saying for 100 years or more that I don't think the Clintons do anything with any sort of spontaneity. It's all orchestrated. It's all planned out. And we found out, and the only reason that we found out that this meeting between Attorney General Loretta Lynch and former President Bill Clinton took place was because the story was broke by the local ABC affiliate in Phoenix, Arizona. And apparently on Monday of this week, there was a meeting between these two, former President Clinton and Attorney General Lynch, on a private jet. And I have been asking now for the last 24 hours or so since we learned about this meeting. We know that neither one of these jets belong to either one of these people. So my question has been, who owns the jet? That's what I want to know. Surely somebody out there is familiar with aircraft and identifying aircraft. Wouldn't it be pretty easy to find out who owns this plane by just the tail number? I'm going to throw that out there. But so there was a meeting here between Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch, and shock upon shock, it took place just hours before the Benghazi report was released. What a coinky dink. Well, again, nothing is ever a coinky dink with the Clintons. On being asked about this meeting, Attorney General Lynch said, oh, it was no big deal. It was, well, I think her exact words were, it was primarily social. Well, primarily? What constitutes primarily? That they talked about the Clinton grandchildren and President Clinton playing golf and all those kind of, it was just all very, her quote here, and this is from The Blaze, the quote here from Attorney General Loretta Lynch was, I did see President Clinton at the Phoenix airport as he was leaving, and he spoke to myself and my husband on the plane. She said that the nature of their conversation was lighthearted. She went on to say, our conversation was a great deal about his grandchildren. It was primarily social about our travels, and he mentioned he'd played golf in Phoenix. There was no discussion on any matter pending before the department or any matter pending with any other body. There was no discussion of Benghazi, no discussion of State Department emails by way of example. I would say it was current affairs, news of the day, the Brexit decision, and what it would mean. So here's the first thing. You got a guy here who is in Phoenix where it's 108 degrees. You got a 70-year-old man who has a history of heart issues playing golf in 108 degree weather. Yeah, I know in Phoenix it's not the heat, it's the humidity. Or it's well, that's what we like to say here, but no, I think it would probably be the heat. So you got that. You got a 70-year-old man with a history of heart issues playing golf when it's 108 degrees. Well, you know, all right. If you want to float that one, that's okay. But here's the thing. when Loretta Lynch was appointed to the federal bench in the District of Manhattan, who do you think appointed her? Well, it was none other than Bill Clinton. There have been a lot of speculation about the conversation that might have taken place here. I tend to think that maybe, and again, nothing but speculation, but could it have been the old "Hey Loretta, don't forget how you got here" speech? I don't do a very good Bill Clinton. "Hey Loretta, don't forget how you got here, honey. Don't forget who appointed you." Could it have been that kind of thing? That first of all, don't forget how you got here, and secondly, hey, if you make this whole email thing go away, Loretta, you know what I mean? Tell old Comey there at the FBI that it's not going to happen. No indictment's going to happen. There's nothing here to see. Just move along. And you do that, and by God, we'll get Hillary elected to the White House, and I'll be the first lady, and we'll make sure you can be the Attorney General for as long as you want, and even then, maybe we'll get you on the Supreme Court. Yeah, you'll just... You make this all go away, Loretta, and you can just write your own ticket, honey. That's just the way it's going to be. Could that have maybe taken place? We don't know. But an update on this story from today is that Loretta Lynch says that she will accept whatever recommendations that are given to her by prosecutors and the FBI pertaining to Hillary's email investigation. And now, since the news of this meeting has come out, she really kind of has to, because again, nobody reported on this story. The mainstream media, of course, was not going to do it. It was broke by a local ABC affiliate in Phoenix, and so she claims that she was in Phoenix on business. She was there. Lynch was heading to Phoenix for a planned visit as part of a national tour promoting community policing, aka having the Justice Department take over local police departments, which basically is what that is. But also, what happened after this meeting, shock upon shock, late yesterday, the State Department asked for a delay in the release of Clinton Foundation emails. Now, this is different from Hillary's Secretary of State emails. These are emails from the Clinton Foundation, and the State Department asked for a delay in the release of these Clinton Foundation emails until 2018 or so. Really? Well, let's do a little math here. Let's see. This is July the 1st, so August, September, October. We're 4 months out of an election, so it'll be 2016, and then it'll be 2018, and somebody new will be the president. Oh yeah, that's right. There's a 50-50 chance that it could be Hillary Clinton. How convenient. How convenient. Does this have anything to do with this meeting? We don't know. But like I said, there is a lot of speculation going on as to what may have happened on that private jet that no one seems to know who owns. A lot of things that might have taken place. A lot of, I have to say about that is that we know how the Clintons operate. We know how they operate. We know what they do to operate. Then we know why they do it. And there probably isn't a better political operative, love him or hate him, in this day and age than Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton knows what to do, how to do it, why to do it, when to do it, and who to do it to. So I'm going to just introduce this, and after I take a break, we'll talk a little bit more about it. But this is a report from Fox News. Al-Qaeda urges lone wolves to target whites to avoid hate crime label. That's right. It seems that Al-Qaeda, ISIS, people who are members of those groups, well, they seem to know pretty much about American society and American culture, and they seem to know just exactly who gets targeted for hate crimes and who doesn't. But it goes on to say lone wolf jihadists should target white Americans so no one mistakes their terror attacks for hate crimes unrelated to the cause of radical Islam, Al-Qaeda writes in the latest edition of its online magazine. I will get to the rest of this and a few more tidbits, a few more odds and ends when I come back from a break. I'm going to take a break. We are going to come back with a whole lot more stuff. Lone wolves targeting white people because, well, if you want the credit for your attack, make sure you attack white people because if you don't, Americans are going to think it's a hate crime. Seriously? Don't go anywhere. Stay right where you are.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
Man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy, whew. I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the tax doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the tax doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. Again, 800-631-9123.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501.
Hi there, I'm Slammin' Sam Myers, and I would like to invite you to listen to fun, exciting oldies, The Fox. It's an internet radio station that is like nothing else you've ever heard before. Most classic hit stations have a music library of 500 or maybe 1,000 songs. The Fox Oldies has several thousand. We play songs that radio has forgotten. My favorite thing to hear is I haven't heard that song in years. You'll hear music from the 50s like Elvis Presley, and every once in a while, a current song that adults enjoy like Uptown Funk. It's real heavy on the music from 1970 to 1981. Tune in to www.thefoxoldies.com. Tune in, and I promise you, you're going to hear something within an hour that you have not heard in a very, very long time. That's what the Fox Oldies specializes in. It's music that will put a smile on your face. And music that does not have to be censored. It's fun, exciting oldies. The Fox at www.thefoxoldies.com.
Attention business owners. We know that owning a business means getting things done right now. So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel. We can design a building for your business quickly and save you thousands of dollars. That's right, thousands. You may think General Steel only builds large projects or that you can't afford General Steel quality. Well, check these prices. How about a 40 by 60 foot building for under $22,000? Or even a 50 by 100 for under $35,000? That's right, a 5,000 square foot building for under $35,000. And these buildings all have General Steel quality. Best of all, you can still order a building and have it delivered in time to build this year. How's that for right now? So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel.
800-398-8309. 800-398-8309. 800-398-8309. That's 800-398-8309.
We are back. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble, TGIF. Happy Independence Day weekend, everyone. We were just talking about how Al-Qaeda, in the latest edition of its online magazine, that kills me. A terrorist organization has an online magazine, really? But again, that just goes to show you how adept they are with social media and with the internet. But the latest edition of the online Al-Qaeda magazine encourages lone wolf jihadists to attack white people so it is not misconstrued as a hate crime. That's right. In an article first reported by the Foreign Desk, this is a report from FoxNews.com, Al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula called for more self-directed Muslim terrorists to kill in America, but the article titled Inspire Guide Orlando Operation tells terrorists to avoid targeting places and crowds where minorities are generally found. Because if gays or Latinos appear to be the targets, the federal government will be the one taking full responsibility. The online magazine praises the attack but instructs terrorists to target, quote, Anglo-Saxons. In the June 12th attack in Orlando, Omar Mateen killed 49 people and injured 53 in a gay nightclub. Although Mateen, who was later killed by police, told hostage negotiators he pledged allegiance to ISIS, U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch has characterized the attack as a hate crime against gays. The quote from Attorney General Lynch was, quote, I cannot tell you definitely that we will ever narrow it down to one motivation. People often act out of more than one motivation. Well, no, that's not true, because he told you what the motivation was he pledging his allegiance to. He told you who he was doing this in the name of. But it's just an ongoing problem with this administration that they refuse to acknowledge what we are up against. And I'm going to say it. We're at war with radical Islam. We are at war with radical Islamic terrorists. It's not that hard to say. It really kind of rolls off your tongue. But that's where we are. And our administration and our president refuses to acknowledge that. But I digress. This was clearly an act of terror and an act of hate. We will look at all motivations and hope to come to a conclusion there. That was the end of Attorney General Lynch's quote. Although Al-Qaeda does not take credit for Mateen's attack, in the online article, it urges more lone wolves to take up arms. Jihadists should target areas where the Anglo-Saxon community is generally concentrated. This class of the American community is the majority. It is the one that is in American leadership. So we have that. We also have, you know, very quickly before I go to this one last thing that I want to talk about, I'll give you some poll numbers here. Of course, this is from Real Clear Politics. The RCP average has Hillary Clinton up by 4.8 percentage points. Fox News, Clinton up by 4. Rasmussen, Clinton up by 6. Rasmussen up has Donald Trump up by 4. PPP, Clinton by 4. Reuters, Ipsos, Clinton by 10. Quinnipiac, Clinton by 2. ABC News, Washington Post, Clinton by 12. NBC News, Wall Street Journal, Clinton by 5. Economist/YouGov, Clinton by 4. And CNN, ORC, Clinton by 5. Some of the battleground state numbers. Pennsylvania, Clinton, RCP average, Clinton up by 2.5. Florida, Clinton up by 3.4. Ohio, Clinton up by 3. Virginia, Clinton up by 4. North Carolina, Clinton up by 0.7, which is basically a tie. Georgia, Trump up by 4.2. And New Hampshire, Clinton up 2.7. So a lot of those basically are it's a statistical dead heat, and it's also within the margin of error. So, again, it's very early, and I think we need to realize that polls, you can make anything, a poll show anything you want it to show. But very quickly here, before I get out of here, in lieu of a WTF item for today, I just want to tell everybody that while we're having fun this Independence Day weekend, while we're barbecuing, while we're swimming, while we're watching fireworks and going to parades, let's remember what this day is about. This day is about the birth of our nation. And the birth of our nation was not just – it wasn't just an event. It was the birth of a concept. It was the birth of an idea. It was the idea that we the people can govern ourselves, that we the people know what's best for us, not some king or queen or monarchy in a faraway land or some big bloated bureaucratic government like we have now, far off telling people what to do. It is about we the people. We the people make our own decisions. We enjoy freedoms and liberties here in America that no one else on earth enjoys. You can say what you want to say and not be arrested by the government, although they might be listening in. You have the freedom to worship the way you choose, which is highly personal for me. You have the opportunity, regardless of what liberals will tell you, no matter who you are, what color you are, where you come from, what your economic status is, you have the ability to make that better. You have the opportunity in America and nowhere else on this planet to make that better. And that's why people aren't dying to get out. People aren't dying to leave. They're not leaving illegally. They're coming in illegally. That should speak volumes to us, and that should tell us something. On that note, I want everyone to have a fabulous 3-day Independence Day, 4th of July weekend. Please go to theconservativecauldron.blogspot.com. Please go to politichicks.com, facebook.com/Becky Noble, and on Twitter at Patriot Witch. And, of course, Monday, July 4th, the launch, the beginning of a new era in conservative internet radio, Red Nation Rising Radio Network. Check it out. It is going to be awesome, everybody. And I will see you next time.